for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Well, turn with me, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 4. We're going through the book of Acts and just trying to see what God may be saying to us through his word. And we turn to Acts chapter 4. We're going to read from verse 23 to verse 31. Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to 31. Just to set the scene, if you're not familiar with the book of Acts, and we just come in at a situation where Peter and John they were arrested. They've spent the night in prison. They've been hauled before a religious court that's telling them that they need to stop speaking and telling people about Jesus, which is kind of odd for us as Christians to even think that anybody would want to do that, but apparently there are people in their day and in our day who don't want that to be happening. And so they were released from the court because court couldn't find anything to charge them with because they had done an amazing miracle in the name of Jesus. A man of about 40 years of age had been crippled all his life, was healed in Jesus' name. And, well, they had nothing to say and they could not charge them with anything, even though they desperately wanted to. And so this is Peter and John, and also the man that was healed was released. And they went back to the church. And this is where we take it up. And when they were released, verse 23, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, there's something of spontaneity right there. It was a spontaneous reaction. And they lifted their voices together. There was an immediate response. This was a serious thing that was happening. And this was their prayer. Sovereign Lord, who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the nations rage? And the peoples plot in vain. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord, against his anointed. For truly, in this city, they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel. You see, The unholy alliance. There's Herod and Pontius Pilate. There's the people of Israel and there's the Gentiles, and they're all coming together against Christ. So you did this to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats. Consider their threats, Lord, and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand and heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. A wonderful passage of scripture, I'm sure you'll agree. Title this morning is Fight or Flight. Fight or Flight. Can I just remind you of something? That the Asher's appeal is due tomorrow. Judges are considering the Asher's Bakery Company case and will hand down their decision tomorrow at the High Court of Appeal in Belfast. It's applicable to the scripture that we've just read. The MacArthur family, who own and run Ashers, are contesting an earlier ruling which said that the business broke the law by declining to decorate a cake with a pro-gay marriage campaign slogan. That was the charge, and that's what they have been charged with. But the family turned down the order because it conflicted with their Christian belief that marriage is between a man and a woman. The judges are handing down their ruling tomorrow. Let me tell you, God has already handed down his ruling. He is already backing the MacArthur family. And whatever the outcome of this, and to all right-minded people, and even the law experts themselves, this appeal will have to be upheld. You know, when the devil begins to attack, and there is such a person, he's not a figment of anybody's imagination, he's very real. But when he begins to attack, he can't do anything but ultimately make the word of God known. In the Ashers case, this is exactly what's happened. There's opposition. These people have gone through a really difficult time, the MacArthur family. They really have. And yet, all this has done is promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because people are talking about this case, and they will be tomorrow. So be prepared for it in the workplace or wherever you are. Be prepared to have a chat and to say, oh, you know, we were thinking about that and talking about that yesterday at church. Well, God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Let me just quote something to you. Every true soldier is a hero. A soldier without heroism is a chocolate soldier. Who has not been stirred to scorn and mirth at the very thought of a chocolate soldier? In peace, true soldiers are captive lions fretting in their cages. War gives them their liberty and sends them like boys bounding out of school to obtain their heart's desire or perish in the attempt. Battle is the soldier's vital breath. Peace turns him into a stooping asthmatic. War makes him a whole man again and gives him the heart, strength, and vigor of a hero. End of quote. Let me ask you a question. What kind of man would write such a thing? I hope you were listening. What quality of a man would even think to write such things? Soldiers are men who are trapped in a cage until they're let loose into war, and then they come alive. That's their breath. That's their reason for living. What kind of a man would write such a thing? Well, a man by the name of C.T. Studd, who was a Christian missionary in a bygone age. He understood the concept of spiritual warfare. He understood that there was and is a battle going on. And he understood that there are such people as Christian soldiers who are made of chocolate, who melt in the face of any sign of battle. Of Christian soldiers, he says, and I quote, "Dissolving in water and melting at the smell of fire, sweeties they are, bonbons, lollipops." I'm just quoting, okay? "Living their lives in a glass dish or in a cardboard box, each clad in his soft clothing, a little frilled white paper to preserve his dear little delicate constitution." What kind of a man would write that? It goes on. Do you want me to? To the chocolate Christian, he says, The very thought of war brings a violent attack of the shivers. While the call to battle always finds him with the palsy. I really cannot move, he says. I only wish I could, but I can sing, and here are some of my favorite lines. And he goes on. I must be carried to the skies on flowery bed of ease. Let others fight to win the prize or sail through bloody seas. Mark time, Christian heroes, never go to war. Stop and mind the babies playing on the floor. Wash and dress and feed them 40 times a week till they're roly-poly puddings, so to speak. Round and round the nursery, let us ambulate. Sugar and spice and all things nice must be on our slate. One more time, I'll ask you, what do you think of that? Here is somebody who is writing things that should make us feel uncomfortable, isn't he? He should make us feel uncomfortable. Because here is a Christian general who went to the very front line and pushed back the powers of darkness in China and in other places, brought the gospel, understood that there is a massive battle and conflict going on. And when we come to Acts chapter 4, we understand this about this passage of scripture, that both sides of this battle knew what was at stake here. They both understood that it was all about the good news of Jesus Christ. The enemies of God and the gospel always want to silence and stop the spread of the message. Always. And they will use all sorts of different methods. But there are basically three ways that we can expect to see opposition to us as Christians. One is outright persecution, which the church will face and is facing in Acts chapter 4 and will in 5 and 6 and till the end. Opposition, physical opposition, beating, death, and all of that. The second thing is compromise. Ananias and Sapphira, from within the church, apparently sold lands. But Peter said, listen, Satan has filled your heart and you've lied to God. You've lied to the Holy Spirit. So persecution from outside, compromise from within, and then distractions. A dispute arose and will arise later on in Acts, where the widows are, one group of widows are being neglected over another, and there is a dispute, and that is threatening to cause division in the church again. Where do you think the greatest difficulty and the most difficult opposition comes from? It doesn't come from outside. You see, because when it comes from outside, we pull together. But when the enemy gets within, then he can run amok. So we need to be aware. Listen, Pentecost was followed by persecution. Yeah? Pentecost was followed by persecution. And it's helpful to note here that when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, the Holy Spirit came upon him and he was led by the Spirit into the desert. For what? For temptation. And there's a pattern here. The work of the Spirit in a life and in the life of Christ, and then opposition. The devil tempted him for 40 days. Pentecost, the power of God hit the church. Tongues of fire, signs and wonders, the gospel going forward powerfully. Everything is wonderful and rosy and magnificent. Then there's opposition. There will always be opposition. Why? Because we're not just a wee church on the corner of the street singing our wee songs. We are the people of God that God uses to bring his kingdom in. kingdom people. And the kingdom of God advances, doesn't it? What does it advance into? It advances into enemy territory. It advances at the expense of the kingdom of darkness. That's how it works, isn't it? You do know this. And that's where the clash of kingdoms come. When the kingdom of God begins to advance, when light begins to saturate and remove and dissolve the darkness, when people get saved and come to know Jesus, when people are miraculously healed, when the power of God is at work and Christians begin to love each other and share what they have with each other and demonstrate the love of God to the world, the kingdom of darkness is being pushed back. Now, the devil is not going to lie down and say, roll out the red carpet for us and say, come this way. There will be opposition. There is opposition. But how do we respond to that? Well, how did they respond to it? Well, I'll tell you how they didn't respond to it. They didn't respond to persecution like this. Lord, can you protect us? Read that prayer in Acts chapter 4. There's no petition for protection. They're not thinking about themselves. They're not thinking about their own safety. They are not even saying, Lord, kill them. Nothing of the sort. How do they start their prayer? How do they start their focus? What do they do? How do they respond? Well, there's two words right there. Sovereign Lord. Sovereign Lord. Now, come on, let's be honest. When you're going through the mill, when you're going through difficulties and trials and setbacks, is that how you respond? Or do you start having a wee pity party, start moaning, start blaming this person, that person, or thinking, oh, the Lord has left me, he doesn't love me anymore, and so on and so forth, and all the rest. We're all tempted to go down that road. But they said, no, sovereign Lord, master, ruler, the absolute king of all kings, that's who you are. You're the magnificent God. That's who you are. You see, in times of difficulty, what comes out of our hearts is only what's in our hearts. Yeah? So when difficulties come, and when difficulties hit us, and opposition, persecution, whatever way form it comes in, out of our mouths and out of our lives comes what's already in there. So if sovereign Lord is in there, sovereign Lord is what will come out. If we are convinced that no matter what is going on out there, he's God, that's what will come out of our mouths. And that's how we will position ourselves. You know, it's when the clash comes, the reality of the battle, that can cause some of us to be fearful, others to shrink back, and others to keep a low profile, others to retreat and withdraw from the battle altogether. But surely that's not an option for those who have pledged allegiance to King Jesus. If we are a Christian, we have pledged our life to the King of all kings. And retreat, cowardice, keeping a low profile, surely that's not an option for us as the people of God. And this is how they pray. You are the master and you are the maker of all things. And notice their prayer as they go on. They say and they understand that the devil, even during Christ's time on earth, used people to come together in opposition to Jesus. The alliances came together of unlikely people to fight against Christ. And they quote from Psalm 2. Why do the Gentiles rage? They are raging, angry. Because God has sent his Christ, his Son, into the world. And there is this alliance that comes together. But they understand this from verse 20. That all of this and all of this opposition and all of this fight against Christ was in God, your perfect plan. And this is where we just have to marvel at God. That he is sovereign. He is the ruler of everything. The nations rage and these unholy and unlikely alliances come together against Christ. And they confirm that they will crucify Jesus together. And yet the Bible says this in verse 28. All of this was done because you had planned it. God had predestined this to take place. Does that not boggle your mind? This was the plan of God. We just celebrated this morning. How was that going to happen? Well, God allowed these wicked, cruel men to crucify Christ, to fulfill his plan and his purpose for us. Even when they were crucifying Jesus, they were in fact fulfilling God's ultimate plan of salvation. And so they've got that in their minds because now they're facing it. Now they're facing opposition. The plans of those who try to fight against God and try to defeat his purposes are completely useless. For even in their attempts to oppose God, they are in fact unwittingly being used by God to ultimately fulfill his plans and his purposes. The work of the enemy backfires big time, every time. We think of persecution of the church throughout the world. We don't have anything like that physical persecution here. But in the places that God's church is being persecuted violently and unto death, we think of some of the Muslim countries. What's happening to the church? The church is growing. It's amazing. It defies logic. The church in Iraq, the church in Iran, the real church, the true church of Jesus Christ, where there are martyrs and the blood of the martyrs are on the ground. And when people are being banned, you can't read the Bible, you can't go to church, you cannot preach the gospel, speak about Jesus, you can't change your faith. In that environment, people are flocking to Jesus. It's awesome. It defies our human logic. When you ban something, it's just human nature. Oh, they banned that. They banned the Bible. What is it our leaders don't want us to hear? And there are many thousands of Muslims coming to Christ. Oh yes, we hear about Islamic State and all the rest of it and militant Muslimism and terrorism and so on and so forth. Listen, that's what the devil wants to draw us into, to make us fearful. He wants to focus to be there on destruction. But out of destruction in these countries comes a vibrant church. A living church, a dynamic church, because you just don't just roll up to this church because it's the thing to do. You don't just roll up to the church in Iraq because you're a nice person. You don't just roll up to the church in Iraq or Iran or in places of China and other North Korea. You don't join yourself to the church in these places unless you really are a Christian. Unless you know Christ. Unless you are willing to be caught, to be either sentenced to prison, hard labor, or death. You don't go. It's not a social event. It's not a nice place to be. It's not a place to get ahead in the community. It's a place for those who know Christ. And that's what's happening in the book of Acts. The persecution comes against the people of God. And yes, the opposition to God is pointless, but it's not painless. It's pointless, but it's not painless. There are casualties. People will die. People will suffer. But unless we are prepared to suffer, we will not follow Christ. Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:3, share in the suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Listen, gone are the days we come to Jesus. Come to Jesus, everything will be okay and everything will be fine and you'll have a wonderful life and everything will go fine and dandy for you. I don't even know where that message came from. But it's not what Jesus preached. He says, I'm going to give you peace, but you know what? In the world, you'll have tribulation. It'll be terrible. People will laugh at you. They'll scorn at you. They'll look down your noses at you. They might even torture you and they might even kill you. But you know what? Nothing shall separate you from the love of Christ, from the love of God that is in Christ. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 13, from verse 20 to 21. He says this. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the seed of the gospel, and it's sown on the rocky ground. This is the one who hears the word of God and immediately receives it with joy. Great! That's a wonderful message. Joy! I'm saved! Hallelujah, glory! And there's joy in the place. Yet, he has no root in himself. In other words, there's a shallowness there. Shallow, shallow, shallow. But he endures for a while. And when tribulation is trouble, or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. Immediately he falls away. Shallowness. There is joy in serving Jesus. There's also hardship. There's pain. There's persecution. There is opposition. And you know, you think, well, I'm not doing a very good job of selling the gospel. Well, I'm not selling the gospel this morning. I'm not selling it. I'm laying it out. You want to follow Christ? Be prepared for hardship. You want to follow Christ? Be prepared for opposition. Because if you're not, you're shallow and you'll fall away. Okay? That's just how it is. Jesus said it better than I could ever say it. Anyone who would come after me, pick up his cross and follow after me. Unless you're willing to take that cross, don't take the step. God doesn't want us to be pity party people. What is it that discourages you? You know, some people say, well, the sign, the quality of a man or a woman is, you know, you can measure the quality of a man or woman by what discourages them. What is it that discourages you? You know, David was a man of war. And he encouraged himself in the Lord, didn't he? Encouraged himself. You think, well, why wasn't there anybody around to encourage him? Well, there might have been, but they didn't do it. So he did it himself. He encouraged himself. He spoke to his soul and said, come on, soul, praise the Lord. Come on, soul, worship the Lord. Come on, soul, put your trust in God. Come on, soul, get into line. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why so discouraged within me? Come on, soul, Get fixed on God. He is awesome. He is for us. He's not against us. David encouraged himself. He spoke to himself. He pulled himself up by the shoelaces. Yes, he did. And there's plenty to discourage us. There's plenty to bring despondency to us. But we also have the Lord. Three things they asked for. Not one of them from verse 29 was, Lord, protect us. He said this, Lord, consider their threats. That's all they said. They said, consider their threats. They didn't say, Lord, stop their threats. They didn't say, Lord, can you just get rid of these people? They just said, Lord, consider their threats. Why? Because they're not actually sure what God is going to do with their threats. What a sign of faith that is, if we understand it. Lord, consider what they're saying. Lord, you know what to do, whatever your purpose and your plan is. We're not going to tell you what to do, but Lord, please just consider what's happening here. And they ask for two things. God, give us boldness and continue to stretch out your hand in signs and wonders. Wow, awesome, incredible. Different mentality. Are we on the back foot? Are we cowering in the corner? There's opposition. Oh, we're scared. Oh, what will people think? Or retreat, 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 retreat. Lord, consider their threats. But Lord, what we want to do is we want to keep on speaking in boldness, and we want to keep on seeing miracles happening, because that's how people come to know you. What a difference in how we may look at opposition. I have said these things, Jesus said, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Morning as I close, God answered their prayer. Wow. The place that they were gathering in was shaken. See, they had been shaken. Their faith had been shaken. These people are fermenting murder against the church. Their faith is definitely shaken. They're not robots. So their faith is shaken. And yet God comes. And he shakes the building that they're in. Oh, there's a whole lot of shaking going on. Why does God do that? He wants them to understand something. That he's hearing them, and he's in control, and he is sovereign, and he will shake the earth if he chooses to shake the earth, because he's God, and he can do anything that he pleases. And he's shaking the building, and at the same time, shaking them. Why is he shaking them? You remember Rhonda telling you about the time that she used to go potato picking? And he used to have to fill up these big bags, and she filled the bags up with potatoes, and that's great. The bag is full of potatoes. And the farmer came along, big 9 foot wide and 18 foot tall farmer come along, and he would lift the bag and he would give it a shake. And then Ron would look in and think, oh, it's only half full now. Look, that's not fair. When I read this scripture now, I read that God shook that place, and I read that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. I think about that picture. I think about even the Christians being shaken. Why? Not to provide physical room for the Holy Spirit, but so that we would be enabled to receive more of what he wants to pour out upon us, to energize us and release us into the harvest. This morning, as I close, people of God, remember the Asher's case. Remember the situations that are all around. Remember that we are trying as a church to reach out into our town. And you are too, in your family, your workplaces, and everywhere you go. There will be opposition. There will be trials. There will be setbacks. But folks, let's not be chocolate soldiers. Let's not be chocolate soldiers. Let's not be, you know, roly-poly puddings, so to speak. We are soldiers of Christ. Put our armor on. Stir ourselves. Get our armor on. And let's get going, doing what God wants us to do for his glory. Amen. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, we thank you this morning for the glory of the gospel. We thank you for the results of the gospel. We thank you, Father, that you have given us this amazing message to proclaim in word and in deed and in action. Father, help us. Help us to see and be aware of the snares of the enemy and the tactics that he uses. But Lord, help us never to shrink back. Lord, help us to stir ourselves, encourage ourselves, rile ourselves, Lord, to seek your face, never to buckle, but to say, Lord, take us, use us for the extension of your kingdom. Help us to see people who are lost. It's a battle for souls, Lord. So enable us as your people. God, alert us and awaken us to the battle. Because, Lord, if we don't go to the battle will come to us. We have an option, whether to be on the offensive or to be cowering in defense. Lord, we are the more than conquerors in you. We refuse to be cowardly. And we rise in your name to be conquerors in Christ. Grant it to us for the glory of the gospel, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. And your
love is great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.